to a little prayer over our offerings. Father, we just thank you that even during this time, our hearts can be settled knowing that you provide for every need we have, whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, or financial. We just thank you. You are the one we look to. We thank you that you're the one we can trust. We thank you because you are trustworthy. So we give our offerings to you and our tithes to you, knowing that they will go forth and do your will, both here at Karen Orr as well as to the ministries that we sow into around the world and especially Israel. We just thank you for all of that. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. All right, so we're going to go into a message now from Bamidbar. So, as we said in the Torah portion, when I did the Torah portion earlier, that this was a census, a counting of the people. Now, there were three countings of the people in the Old Covenant that we can point to. The first is in our Torah portion, and that's when the Israelites were about to start their wandering around in the desert. The second was in Shittim, at the end of their wandering, just before they go into that promised land. The third was by King David, which he was punished for doing because he did it without consulting Adonai first. Now, there was probably another census taken because we see evidence of it in the second chapter of Ezra. This was when the Israelites were taken captive, and there are notes in about the numbers in Ezra of those taken captive and brought to Babylon. So that may have been a census at that time as well. The next census we're told of in Scripture is actually in the Good News, in the Gospel, before Yeshua's birth, which was, of course, the reason that Joseph and Miriam returned to Bethlehem, was because of the census. Everyone had to go back to their hometown in order to be counted. Now, these three times in the Old Covenant don't mean that they're the only times, but they're definitely the times we're told about within the times of back then. There probably were many other times that they were counted. Each time someone conquered the Israelites and dragged them off to their lands, there probably was a census of the Israelites. The Babylonians, we know, did a census when they did captives. We also know later on that the Romans, while they were in power during the New Covenant times, that they did a census every 14 years. So it's not unusual to take numbers, to take census, to do a count. Now, as I spoke in the Torah portion, and if you didn't listen to it, if you didn't hear it, I really encourage you to go back. I think it was a fun Torah portion. I just enjoy those kind of things. But, you know, I'm not a numerology kind of guy, but getting a little bit into the numbers can be a lot of fun. There were a lot of people. I number them at over 2 million people. And I was reading it, and as I was reading this again and again, and I was read it a couple of times, and each time all these numbers come up, and I went into prayer, and I'm, why is it necessary, Lord? Why is it necessary to know the numbers of people coming out? Why is it necessary to know just how big Israel is, how many there are? You know, it wasn't so that Adonai can provide food. It wasn't, as David started a count, so that he would know how big of an army he had, because it was never about the people and the size of the army, because every battle they went into was a battle of the Lord's. So it was not for that reason. Excuse me, for that reason. So let's take another look at Numbers 1:1, at the start of our portion. Let's read the first three verses of Numbers. It says there, in the wilderness of Sinai, on the first day of the second month, in the second year of the Exodus from the land of Egypt, Adonai spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting, saying, do a head count of all the community of Bnei Israel by their families and their ancestral house, with a total of every male one by one. You and Aaron are to muster by their divisions every son from 20 years and upward available to serve in the army of Israel. So we see Israelites were 13 months out of Egypt and out of their bondage. Although only the number of fighting men were recorded, the command by Adonai was to count all the community. So although only one was put down onto paper, I believe all the people were counted. It's apparent in that paragraph, in those couple of sentences there, that the whole community was counted and was reviewed. So what do we learn about, and we're reading about this count? Why was it important to Adonai? There's always a reason. There's always a reason. And I believe it's because they're more than just numbers. Isn't that kind of funny? He gives us a bunch of numbers to point out that each individual Israelite is more than just a number. Each individual Israelite is a soul that's important to Adonai, not just a number. By the physical count, there are many, but in Adonai's view, there are individuals, and each is important. Each of them counts for something. Although we read at times in Scripture that Israel was looked at as a nation, or that the Gentiles were looked at as nations, it's even more important to know that in Adonai's view, they all counted as individual people. Adonai still has love for each individual one of them. And he still looked at each one of them to see the acts of each individual one of them, because that was what was important. The heart of each individual one of them. So when we do good or do poorly, God sees and knows, just like he did then, he does now. And he will act to bless or correct based on what we do as individuals. He never acts to punish or to put down, but to correct those that he loves and those he desires to love, and those who he desires to love him. Because his love is continual and forever. And he wants that love to flow to us continually and forever. And God's heart is that we love him continually and forever as well. Romans tells us something again that will stand for the Romans tells us again that each of us will stand for ourselves. Romans 2, 9 through 11. There will be trouble and hardship for every human soul that does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But there will be glory, honor, and shalom to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Adonai is not a respecter of persons, meaning he does not play favorites, but the lover of each and every one is he. He loves each and every person, each and every individual soul the same, because that's his nature, to love and be fair to all. He's not partial. We're told that. He'll judge us based on our own individual actions and our own individual beliefs. because that's who he is. Although we read in a bunch of numbers as recorded in Torah, they were individual souls to Adonai. That is why when we hear of anti-Semitism even today, what does those reports sound like? Today in Israel, four people got killed by a knife attack. Today over in the West Bank, there was a riot and so many people got killed. It's numbers. It's numbers. But what should those numbers mean to us? Each of those numbers is an individual. Each of those numbers is a soul. Each of those numbers is someone Adonai loves. And that's what should be in our heart as well when we hear these numbers. Because I know that's what's in Adonai's number heart as well. That's who he is. Listen to what Rav Shaul says in the second letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, so that each one may receive what is due for the things he did while in the body, whether good or bad. Adonai sees individuals as individuals, and does not just judge us by a group or the family that we're counted by. He says that each of us gets judged for our individual actions and beliefs. We're not viewed by Adonai like ants. You know, unlike when an anthill is destroyed, you go over and you kick it around and you step on the ants and you know, indiscriminately about what ant is which. You know, you don't think about, well, that ant is good and that ant was bad and that deserves it, or that ant and this ant. That's not Adonai to us. That's not the way he is. He sees each individual. It does not matter what we've done before. It doesn't matter what other things people think of us. Adonai's view of each of us is not based on what we think of ourselves or what others think of us. Let's look at Luke 2. In the second chapter of Luke, we see an example of how Adonai sees each individual. Adonai 2, starting in 8. Now, there were shepherds in the same region, living out in the fields and guarding their flock at night. Suddenly, an angel of Adonai stood before them, and the glory of Adonai shone all around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim good news to you, which will be great joy to all the people." The angel said, "I proclaim good news to you." The lowly shepherds, who were outcasts of the society, who were unclean, they were dirty, they were underpaid. Therefore, they were thought of as thieves. They were left out in the heat, left out in the cold. Yet, they were still loved by Adonai, who desired to bless them. They were still the ones who the glory of Adonai was revealed to, because they were not what the world saw in them, but they were what he, the Lord, saw in them. His own creation, and someone to love and to bless. This is how we should not only see others, but how we should see ourselves. One of Adonai's creations to be loved and to be blessed. For Adonai knows and will never forget each individual soul that he's created. Isaiah reminds of this in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49:14 says, "But Zion said, Adonai has forsaken me. Adonai has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing baby or lack compassion for a child of her womb? Even if these forget, I will not forget you. Now, for many of us, it's inconceivable that a parent, especially a mother, would forget their child. And I know it happens. I know. And I feel bad about each time that it happens. But it doesn't happen very often that a mother or a parent forgets. But the Lord says, even if that happens, so for those of you who it's happened to, even if that happens, even if that happened, the Lord has not forgotten you. He never stops loving. Look what it says in Psalm 27:10. Though my father and my mother forsake me, Adonai will take me in. The assurance of Adonai is that even though others, including family, may forsake you and forget you, Adonai never loses sight of you and will always, always take you in his love. That's why he acts the way he acts. That's why his timing is his timing. Why hasn't the end time come yet? Why isn't it right now? The answer is in 2 Peter 3. Let's take a look at 2 Peter 3:8. But don't forget this one thing, loved ones, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He's patient for you. He's patient for your family who need a bit more time to come to faith in Messiah Yeshua. It's because he loves you, because he loves your family, that he doesn't want to see you or your family lost in sin or separation forever. His love is eternal. Doesn't matter what others think of you. Doesn't even matter what you think of yourself. There are many with self-esteem issues, but Adonai does not see you as small and insufficient. That's not who he created. It's not how he sees you. Matthew 10 tells us how he sees you, each of us, how he sees you. Matthew 10:29, starting there. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them shall fall to the ground apart from your Father's consent. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are worth more than many sparrows. You may think you're worth less than a penny. That penny that's thrown on the ground and it's not worth picking up even. It's not worth my effort to bend over. That's not how Adonai sees each of you, sees each and every soul. Just like we're told, he knows and has numbered every hair on our head. So we are counted. So each of us is counted. And he wants to care for us. You have to remember and you have to know you are counted. If he can keep track of the hairs on your head, he can keep track of every single one that he's created and loves. You are his creation. Adonai is a God that has a plan for each and every individual. Many of us know Jeremiah 29, starting in 11. For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai. Plans for shalom and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai, and I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai. And I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as captives into exile. Take note how often Adonai says, you. It's not you all. It's not them. It's not the nation. It's not yours, but it's you. Place your name there. And that verse is as true of a statement as it is right there in your scriptures. This is one of those places, every time it says you, put your name there. That statement is not only true, it shows Adonai's love to you. That is a great exercise to do every once in a while. Put your name in Scripture. That book, whether you have it in hardcover that you read or whether you're reading it on a screen, was written to you. It's a love letter to you, and it's supposed to mean something to you. Revelation 3:20, again, to you. Let's take a look at Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him, and he with me. To the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I myself overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The call is to anyone. It's a call to each individual. It's a call to each of us. But mostly, it's a call to each individual, meaning you. You're very important to him. Not just as a nation, not just as a number. You are an individual loved by him. Let's go to Luke 15, verse 4, starting from there. Which man among you, if he has 100 sheep, loses one of them? This is a parable being told by Yeshua. Which man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one until he finds it? When he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one repenting sinner than over the 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. And we know the parable of the lost coin follows right after that, because it reads very similarly. That one that was lost is very important to Adonai, because each one is an individual. Each one means something very, very special to Adonai and is held very, very closely in Adonai's heart. If you're already in the fold, know If you're already in the fold, you already know Adonai, and you already know Messiah Yeshua as your Savior, He never lets you out of His sight. Even if you wander off, He'll never just say, oh, well, that's free will, let him go. No, He goes after you, and He finds you. He follows you. He wants to bring you back. Now, this is where free will kicks in. He's right there waiting for your free will to turn you around. He will not just grab you by the shoulders and turn you and force you back. That's your free will. Turn back to Him. If you've never turned to Him, turn to Him. He's still right behind you. He's still waiting for you to turn to Him. This is the love of Adonai, that even for those who have turned from Him, whether it be from a very young age, and maybe now you're very old, or at least very old in your mind, He is still right behind you, whispering to you, turn, turn to Me. He still loves you. You may say, I have never felt that love. He loves you. He wants you to have eternal life in His presence. Because the only other option of eternal life in His presence is eternal life outside His presence. And we know that eternal life outside His presence is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the flame never dies and the worms eating of the flesh never ends. That's not the place you want to be, but it's your choice. It's your choice whether you turn to accept Messiah Yeshua as your Savior. He's calling out to you. Maybe you feel like you need a little more time. You don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much time I have. That's why I want to stay in His presence constantly, continually, because it's the place I feel His love. So I want you to feel His love too. I want you to turn to Him. Maybe you think, I'm not convinced yet. I don't know that yet. Then here's what I would recommend. Get your hands on Scripture. Buy a Bible. Borrow one from somewhere. Read through it. See what it says. First, ask the Lord, open my eyes. And here's one of two things that's going to happen. Either, if you believe there's no God, it doesn't hurt to put the words out there and nothing happens. Or there really is a God who really is listening to you, who really does love you, who really wants to be closer than a brother to you, and has created a sacrificial system so that your price of sin can be paid for without requiring your death, which is the price of sin. Read through Scripture. And then, if you have questions, you can call me. You can call another person that you know has a real good base in Scripture. Or you can cry out to the Lord as well. And I bet He answers you. Because that's the love of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for that your love is so great for each and every one of us, that when we turn and we wander off, you follow after us. And when we were lost in the wilderness and we did not know you, before I became one of yours, you still followed after me. You still whispered to me. And when I turned, you still loved me. So I just asked, Ruach HaKodesh, Spirit of God, help those who are going in the wrong direction to turn to you, to know you, to love you, because you know them and you love them right where they are now. It may not be that they're going to be doing the same things after they accept Messiah Yeshua, but it's going to be better. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So Ruach HaKodesh, move on people's hearts to have them turn to you. I just thank you in Yeshua's name that you make it possible because of your love and mercy. Amen and amen.